Hi, everybody. Okay, we're looking at Mark 6:4 this morning or this afternoon here in Australia. And it says, Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own town. Hey, Vandara Karasandara. Hey, Yara Sotara Yara Shavandara. Okay, so a prophet is an interpreter of the divine will. They declare, actually it's from Femi and it means to declare, to produce an epiphany. It's a person who's gifted at bringing forth the divine truth. They make known one's thoughts. They elevate an idea over another through the spoken word. They speak forth by inspiration of God, okay? It says that they declare the mind of God. They predict the future. They declare what has been received by inspiration. A prophet is a man who's filled with the Spirit of God, with God's authority and command, in words of weight, and pleads the cause of God and urges the salvation of men. It's an inspired speaker, okay? Okay, so Jesus said to them, so which is Jesus commanded to them, who? All the selves, all the self people, people who are still in self. And he said to all of them that a prophet is without honor. Without honor is what? Attributed honor. It's any honor that has not been attributed. No honor has been attributed to the prophet. Unhonored, dishonored, and not valued. Okay? And it says there that without honor comes from time. Like there's the word that comes from time, and it means to have paid a price, to be in one accord, to pay respect, to have perceived value, to perceive the price that was paid, the weight and honor, and willingly assigned to something. Okay? Okay. So without honor is valuing by which the price is fixed. So understanding or valuing in which the price is fixed, the price paid or received for a person or a thing, brought or sold, judged worthy as precious or preciousness. We see in John 4:4, the same scripture. John 4:4, it says, a prophet in their own hometown is not with honor. Okay, we see in Acts 7:16, it's the price paid for killing, which is attributed to blood money. So, prophet was without honor. Are we going to that? No, we'll do that after. Then we're going to go down to Matthew 27:6, and we're going to see that blood money, what the blood money looks like. So he's saying the price paid for the killing. It's like a prophet's without honor. That it's not recognized, or the honor is not recognized, or the value is not attributed, therefore there's no honor attributed. There's no perception of the value. There's no perception of the price paid, of what it cost the prophet to bring forth that divine truth, that teaching, to bring forth that epiphany and to bring forth the elevated idea over another through the spoken word, okay? Produce an epiphany in the people. So the blood money, we see Matthew 27:6, it says the chief priests, they prized up the coins and they said, it's against the law to put this into the treasury because it's blood money. It's blood money means it was a payment for murder. So we know that's about Judas in Matthew 27:5. So Judas threw the money into the temple and then he left and he went away and he hung himself. Hung himself means to end his own life. Okay, he put an end to his own life. And he threw it into, where he threw the money into the temple. Well, that part of the temple is supposed to be where God resides, but instead he replaced it with money. So now money resided where God was residing, but that's where he tried to throw the money into where God reside. And the chief priest says, no, we can't take this. It's going to break the law. So they didn't break the law. They got Judas to break the law for them. And they didn't value his life, but Jesus came to die for all lives because he valued all lives. So then they have the blood money, which was the payment for murder. And so Matthew 27:7 says, so then they decided to use the money to buy the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. And potter is keramos, it means the earthen vessel. It means also like the roof. And we see it in Luke how, you know, the disciples were bringing, or the people were bringing their friend who was lame down through the roof to Jesus for healing. So potter is the earthen vessel, but it also, potter comes from the word kerenoumi, and it means to mingle and to pour out for drinking. It means to mix water and wine. And we see that same word to mingle, to pour out for drinking, mixing water and wine, in Revelation 18:6, where it says, give back to her as she's given, pay her back double for what she's done, pour her a double portion from her own cup. And that cup, we look at Revelation 18:5, it says, her sins are piled up to heaven and God has remembered her crimes. So give her back means to return her payment and render her double. Okay, so it's I'll read Revelation 18:7, and it says that give her as much torment and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. In her heart she boasts, I'm enthroned as queen. I'm not a widow, and I will never mourn. So we're seeing here that that the coming through the roof or coming through the earthen vessel is the pouring out for drinking, and coming and mingling with that drink, coming and mingling with the wine, if you're water, and when we turn to wine, our wine is because we've placed honor and we've placed value, and we understand the weighty honor that's assigned to the price paid for the sacrifice of the sin that Jesus paid. He paid a significant price for us to have the blood for our sin to be forgiven, and that yields a heavy, weighty honor, which is wine, and we pour that out for the healing. And when you mingle with that wine, that healing wine, as water, Revelation 18:6 or 18:5, it says that your sins are piled up to heaven and God has remembered your crimes. And the only reason that God's remembering the crimes is that you haven't applied the blood for your sin. You haven't applied the blood for your sin. You haven't received the sacrifice. So you haven't been turned to wine. You haven't actually been turned into healing, pouring a vessel that's pouring out healing and wine and producing that healing. So or having God reside in that temple, because in your temple. Okay, so there's no value on the price paid. I think that's the most important message. Is what we're saying is that, you know, there's no honor. A prophet's without honor in his own hometown. And so we see that part, and then what we get to see a bit down the track, we'll see that Revelation 14:10 says, you must drink the wine of God's anger poured in full strength into the cup of wrath, and they will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of holy angels and of the Lamb. So holy angels are those who are with the Lamb and one with the Lamb. And so he's saying that when the wine when the water comes to mix with the wine in a marriage, the wine, the water, is turned into wine at a marriage. But if it hasn't been turned into wine, it's because there's no sacrifice for sin. They're without the blood. They haven't received, or there's no honour or value on the sacrifice paid. There's no value on the cross. They haven't received the sin sacrifice, okay? And it says that, well, then in that case, what will happen is she's returned double for what she brought. So she brought how much water to the party, which was really just pouring her sin in, but not getting her sin forgiven. It was just trying to mingle with the drinking and not actually getting the sin forgiven. And so her sins were piled up to heaven and God's remembered her crime. So her crime is remembered, and he's remembered her crimes, her sin, because she hasn't covered herself with the blood. Okay, so she's just joining and mingling at the wedding and at the ceremony and trying to drink. But there's been no sacrifice. So her sin is all given back to her because she hasn't received the sacrifice. Okay, so we go back to Matthew 27:7. So they decided to use the money to buy the field, the potter's field, as a burial place for the strangers. So bought means to buy in the marketplace. It means to ownership's transferred from the seller to the buyer and not redeemed, but possession now belongs to the Lord. So they're spoken for. So it talks about being in the marketplace and using the money, which is blood money, which was payment for murder. So the murdering, blood money is also like using it for your own benefit and not using it to serve the kingdom. So you're actually using the money for your own life and not to build your own kingdom, not to establish God's kingdom. So it's blood money because it's just murdering Jesus over and over again. Sometimes it can also look like we're using the money for things like, to try to heal yourself or fix yourself when God's already paid the price. So really it's, whether you're paying it on whatever programs or whatnot, and he's already paid the price with the sacrifice of sin. So rather than use it to build his kingdom, it's, used for your own and to not, to be using it for not to, it's like directly against receiving of the sacrifice of sin, because there's no faith to really believe that it's done what the cross was really done, what it said it's done for you. Okay, so it really shows the condition of your heart and how much you do believe. So how much you actually do believe and how much Jesus really does reside in your heart in terms of receiving. Hey, howdy, barasanda. Okay, so instead of it going to waste, it says there that the chief priests will then just use it to buy up in the marketplace, to transfer from seller to buyer. So using it in the marketplace can look like, if the chief priests are using it in the marketplace with the faith attached to it, that they're purchasing anyone that trades on their trading floor for the Lord, then that person's all spoken for. So if their money has been used to establish land or establish programs or establish ministries, whatnot, in the marketplace, in order to, when people come there and trade their money, then you're purchasing those people for Jesus. there's a trade-off, there's a ownership transference that's taken place because of your faith that has built and set up that program or that ministry or that whatever it might be that's been led by the Lord in faith as a table for those who come to be transferred over to ownership to the Lord. So in the spirit, that's what takes place, whether the natural understands what's going on or not. That's the principle. And so then it says that they use it to buy up the field, which is a land or country, or it's to buy up property for the Lord. So purposely to use the money to buy property for the Lord to receive people to come in. And it says to use it, make it a burial place for strangers. So it's literally talking about strangers who are people who without knowledge and without a share in the kingdom. They're without the knowledge of the kingdom and they're without a share of the kingdom. So it's one whom he stays, it's somebody who stays and lodges and is hosted. So we're hosting strangers at our tables and they're alien to the kingdom. They're aliens, it says, they're foreigners, and they're without knowledge, without a share in the kingdom. And it's actually a place when we're transferring, sell it, a buyer. The word there is thapto, and it actually means I bury under the word. As a celebrate rite, a funeral rite. So it's a burial place where they die to their life and die to their self through that ownership transfer. And they go under the word, so they get buried under the word. And the word is a spirit, so with that property purchase, or the soul purchase, it automatically puts the word, because they've eaten from that table, and it puts them under the word to die, to give up their body for possession to the Lord, to be redeemed. So they're spoken for to be one of the redeemed. Amen. All right. So marketplace talks in terms of salvation context, and it makes purchases. Sorry, that's like a big train going on in the background. Okay, so marketplace is there to make purchases and to transfer ownership rights. Then we see Mark 6:4 again. We go back to Mark 6:4, and it talks about, so not in his hometown of him is there any honour. And that's talking about the fatherland, or one's fatherland, or while in the world. So in the terms of the in their hometown, which is the fatherland, if they're in the world, when a prophet's still in the world, still a prophet, but without glory and honour, still born as a prophet, but, you know, growing up in stature and wisdom, but still in the world, yep, without honour, without glory, and under the father of their natural father, right? So in that context, there's no honour and there's no glory. But once they enter the kingdom, once that prophet enters the kingdom, enters the sonship, so become, and under their father God, they receive honour and they receive glory there. And it says that there's no, in their hometown, among their relatives, so it's talking about the relatives of the same blood and of the same house. So, you know, when you're in the home, in the world, as a prophet, still in the marketplace, purchasing, setting up tables, and still providing, service, but just still have not come into the Father, Father God's kingdom yet, and received the glory and honor for that yet, but, you know, of the same blood is the relatives of the other hometown, which is the world. And then there's a difference when you're in the kingdom under Father God, where you're under, when you've received honour and glory there, and now you're among relatives of the same blood, the same bloodline, because they've received the sacrifice of the blood for their sin, and they're born of the kingdom. You're all born of the kingdom. It's a different glory and honor is there. It's like where unity, where there's unity, God commands a blessing. And where there's unity in brothers and blood, there's a marvelous work that can be carried out, because there's a faith and a believing that's different to those who are not under the blood, who don't believe in the blood sacrifice, or they haven't applied it to their sin. Okay? So they're still in the worldly father system. But when a prophet enters into the kingdom like that. Okay, so Mark 6:5 says he couldn't do any miracles there except lay hands on a few sick people and then heal them. So that's after Mark 6:4. Okay, so he says there's in his hometown there's no honor. And then he says, well, he couldn't even do any miracles there because all he could do was lay hands on people, which is still a miracle, because he says except he lay his hands on people, a few sick people, and heal them. And it says that, so he wasn't able to do any, which is, the word miracles means a work of power. There was no ability to do the work of power. And that means there's a miracle or a marvelous work again, and it means to be power residing in a thing by virtue. So to have power residing in a thing by virtue. But he could lay hands and heal departing illness and making illness leave people. And because he's laid hold of them, he's laid his hands, which means to place his hands on and release the kingdom into them and lay a hold of them. Okay? And then we see at Mark 6:6, he says he was amazed at the unbelief of them. Yeah, I'll read it. It says, he was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Or it says, he was amazed at their unbelief. And then Jesus went from village to village teaching the people. And the word unbelief there means to actually have unfaithfulness, to distrust him. So they distrusted Jesus. They didn't trust the prophet. They were unfaithful to the prophet. There was faithlessness. They had no faith in the prophet. And faithlessness means that they were under the word. So they were under the word and they still were faithless. Unfaithless faithfulness means to be disobedient. And it also means to be withholding belief in a divine power. And then it says, and then Jesus went from village to village. Went means that he took around as a companion, or he led about with oneself. He led around. And then it comes from the word from peri, which is perimeter. So all bases were covered around the whole earth. And villages is like inhabitants, but also inhabitants who are destined and specially appointed to receive their destiny, this teaching. Teaching is to cause someone to learn, teaching them the scriptures, instructing them and imparting to them, to hold discourse with others in order to instruct them, and conduct oneself as a teacher. Okay. So, yeah. So Mark 6:7 says, he called the 12 to himself, and he began to send them out two by two, and he gave them authority over impure spirits. So impure is unclean, and they're not washed with the word. So they're not washed with the word. They've got mixture, and they're tainted by sin. Okay, so again, there's no blood sacrifice that's been received. They haven't received a blood sacrifice for their sin, so they're still tainted by the sin. And he said, but he gave them authority. He sent out the disciples, who now have authority over all impure spirits. Authority means to have a weight or a spiritual power over them, a delegated power. It's authorizing them to act to the extent that they're guided by their faith. So that's what the authority is. It's delegated power, authorizing them to act to the extent that they're guided by their faith. They've been given the power to act. They've been given the power to act. Okay, these sent ones, and they're permitted and lawful, and it's a liberty of doing as one pleases. That's what it says. So they've been given the liberty to do as they please, And which is well, we see in there where he's got the power and the authority and the right, and he says that he's been given the authority, as I said, the power to act over impure spirits. Now, he's talking about any spirit that hasn't received the blood. So any spirit that hasn't received the blood sacrifice of Jesus, the disciples have the spiritual power and the weight and the power to act and the liberty to do as they please. And to the extent that they're guided with their faith. And over their spirit means, well, the word spirit means their breath. It's the pneuma. So they actually have the power over their breath, which is their spirit. Okay? And that's the exousia. Okay, that's the authority. That's how far the authority can go, to the power and the authority over their breath. Okay? So Mark 6:8, and it says he instructed, this is Jesus talking, he said, and these were their instructions, take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no money in your belts, take nothing. I actually just want to quickly go back to Mark 6:7, and we see there the same word authority, where it says exousia, so it's authority over the breath of any impure, any spirit that has not received the blood sacrifice, who don't receive it, they don't believe it, they haven't applied the blood. So the same word authority is used there when Jesus talks about, no one takes my life. I lay it down of my own authority. So he chose by his own authority to lay his own life down. Nobody takes my life, he says. I lay it down. And I'm going to quickly pull it up because he says it in, am I right here? Take, should not more. No. Well, he says it about that so no one takes my life. I lay it down of my own authority. I received, and this is a commandment that I received from my Father. So he knew that he had the authority to take his life up or to lay it down for the Father. The Father's commandment to him was, you have all authority over all spirits. And he knew that. Okay? So he was quite aware, well aware. All right. And he chose how to exercise his authority. Okay? And he says he can do as he pleases. He's authorized to act. He's got the power to act. He has spiritual power and spiritual weight. Anybody that's operating in and is tainted by sin, not washed by the word. But even prior to that, he's saying, you know, he couldn't believe there was so much disobedience. So he's saying, here he was in Mark 6:6, he was amazed at the unbelief of them. So he couldn't even perform a marvelous work. Here they are sitting under the word. They're sitting under the word, is what he's saying. And they couldn't even comply. They couldn't even become obedient to the word, which is receiving the sacrifice. They're under the word, so they remain faithless and disobedient. They had no belief in the divine power, so all he could do was, which was still a miracle, but to lay hands on them and to heal them from sickness and illness, causing those demons to depart from them. But, yeah, they're under the word and they still remained in unbelief. They're under the teaching of the Master. And still denied, still remained. It says there, they withheld their belief. They chose to withhold their own. They chose willingly to withhold belief in him, in his word and that divine power. And because of their withholding of this belief and their disobedience, that's why he wasn't able to do a work of. That's why the word wasn't able to perform its power. The work of power, a miracle, marvelous work. Why? Because he was the only one there. He's the one preaching it. This is Jesus Christ. We've had the gospel now for 2,000 years, but prior to that, it was just him, and nobody believed. So he was in the thick of unbelief, and no one believed. But Mark 6:4 says, once the prophet enters into his father's kingdom under his father and receives honor and glory, and around his relatives who are under the blood, who receive the blood sacrifice, and they're in the faith and they're believing together and they're unified by the blood, they will do a marvelous work. They will perform marvelous works and miracles, and you'll see a display of amazing power, okay, because of from being under the word, okay, great, because there's enough belief, okay, even amongst all the unbelief, okay, and we'll get to it in a minute more. So he has all the power over the breath of all people, the disciples do, he says, that's the disciples can act in that power. Okay. Mark 6:8, and then he instructed, take nothing with you for your journey. Okay. Take nothing with you for your journey. And then we're going to read it where he says, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Okay, so remain in that place or stay in that house means to, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the town. So stay there, which means to endure and persevere. And it says until you determine to leave. Whatever town doesn't receive you or hear you, depart from them or depart from that vicinity is what it says to do. And then it says shake off their sin. Well, it says to shake off the dust from your feet. So shake off means to shake off from myself, get it off me. Disciples is who he's talking to, the disciples. So disciples, shake off from yourself, something adhering shall fall. So shake off is a symbolic act, shaking off for the cleansing off, it says, to shake off for the cleansing off of. A person expresses extreme contempt for another, refusing to have any further contact with him. And dust means the dug out earth. So the dug out earth, the dug out sin, it's their sin. It talks about the dust, and then when you go look at the word, it talks about that same word, chimon, and we've looked at it before where it's tempest and winter, and it's foul spirits and foul weather. And so, and he says that the dust is under your feet for their testimony. So he's talking about the dust dug out of their earth. It's talking about the sin or the foul spirits that you've taken out of the people, and you've carried them. So they didn't have to. You've carried the burden of the sin. You've carried everything that's been dug out of their earthen vessel, and you've carried it on you, so that person was free, so they could receive a miracle-working power. But he says, if they and remain and endure and persevere, he says, so put up with it. Keep digging it out. Keep cleansing their sin. Keep digging them out. Keep digging out the earthen vessels. Dig, 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 dig so they can dig their own well, right? But so you're digging it out, and then you've got all of this foul spirit, and you're doing it as a burden bearer in the city. You've been sent into the town carrying the sin and the weight of the sin upon you so they can be free, right? And then he's like, if they don't receive you and they don't want it, then shake off their sin, shake off their dirt from yourself, and that will cause them to fall, because now that you've given their sin back to them. So for a time there, they've been burden free. And, you know, what I see here is that they don't know how to, as a disciple, you have the anointing and you have the relationship with Jesus, so you know how to give your burden to him. You know how to deliver the sin, and you know how to deliver it up to Jesus, because he's in you, so he absorbs it. You're absorbing it into yourself and then into Jesus, and it's gone, right, to the pit, down into the abyss. But they don't know how to do that because they're not spiritual. They're like, please, Jesus, take my sin away, in a very natural sense, and nothing's happening, and people are still full of sin, and there's drama everywhere and strife and chaos, and they don't know what they're doing. And you do. So you're being sent in as a deliverer and as a judge to judge the sin, which is to judge those foul spirits and get them out of the people, and then cart them away, take them away, which is depart and deliver, to take them away so those people are free and they've got freedom. And then they can, their spirits are free and they can breathe and they can be joyous and they can have blessings, you know, and you're going to have all different types. But he says if they don't receive you and they don't welcome you, then shake off their sin from you. Don't carry it for them anymore. Give it back to them and let them have it. And it will cause them to fall, and then they'll learn to we'll get to it, okay? And then it says, so then what happens, you'll be under your feet for a testimony. So it'll be a testimony as to what you were doing. You were sent there for that, and your testimony is you were sent in for that, and it wasn't received and it wasn't welcomed. And, you know, they're going to, testimony will show that Jesus, the gospel was true. And every scripture we just read today is true. Okay? So Mark 6:11, and if any place doesn't welcome you or listen to you, leave that place, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. And then he says, and then they went out and they preached that the people should repent. Okay, so he's saying, okay, no more carrying their sin for them, because they didn't welcome, they didn't value and honor you as a sent prophet to them. So you're a prophet, you're sent into their hell to deliver them from their own sin, because they don't know how to apply the blood, but you have applied the blood. So now as a prophet, you've paid a very high price to carry that, to carry the Lord and to carry that, and you go in and they don't value it. There's no honor. There's no honor for what you saved them out of. There's no honor for the sacrifice that you paid to walk in that. And so you weren't welcomed and you weren't received. So he says, well, shake off the sin, give it back to them, and then go out and preach that they need to repent. So then you're preaching that you've got to repent yourself. So they're like, what's happening? All my sin's back and I'm feeling bad again, da 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 da. Well, we did come in and get rid of it, but now you have to repent for yourself, because that's the only way you're going to get rid of it now. Okay? So repent. That's what he's saying. Preach to the people that they repent. Tell everyone to repent. Okay? And then he says that they drove out many demons. Yeah, and it says that it'll be worse for them than it was for those who are in Sodom and Gomorrah, that the judgment will, so you've got a testimony under your feet that you came in as a judge to judge sin and to take the sin away and to free them, so they're judged righteous and to give them the kingdom, but they didn't want it, they didn't receive you. He said to endure and remain as long as you can, but then when you determine from your authority that it's not good for you to be there anymore, then you depart from the vicinity, give them back their sin, shake it off, and it will cause them to fall, and then it might cause them to repent, and then what they've got is the message of repentance that you're called to preach, okay? And then the judgment Is the words gone in them. So, you know, that word's gone in them and now they're all under the word because the word is in you. So you've carried the word into the city, into the town, into the people, into the inhabitants, into the cities, into the villages, and you've brought them the word and, you know, they've received the word and they received you for a time, but the word has gone into them and now the word is upon them. And they're under the word, but if they don't have any blood sacrifice, it says that let me just read this last bit where it says, so for this, yeah, for, so that the word, they haven't received the word or they haven't received, they're not agreeing with the word. So it just keeps pounding them and it's like tormenting them. And it's like, because how it says in Revelation where she's, I don't need the sacrifice for my sin. So he gives her back double and she can drink that cup until she and live in that until she learns to receive the word in which she's under, and which the word won't, because the word was purchased in the market, the people, they were purchased in the marketplace. So they all belong to the word. There was a transfer of ownership. So really it's just a wrestle with the word that's already upon them, and the prophets are in to ease the burden of that, to take that burden and to intercede and to stand in the gap and to bring them to repentance, to help them understand and to apply the blood sacrifice. But if they're not welcoming the prophets and the prophets leave and they're left with their own sin and just a message of repentance, not walking with the prophets, and they have to learn how to work that out themselves, right, with the message of repentance and with Jesus in them, and learn how to surrender, and whether or not they're crushed by their own sin with the wrath that's coming against them, because it's the Father's wrath, or the wrath, or the cup of wrath, the judgment is the word that's in them. So it's judging the sin, so it's already in them. And it's against sin and it's crushing them, and they want to hold on to their sin. There's no sacrifice for sin because they haven't really applied it and said, and they haven't seen it. And so when the judgment comes upon them and they fall, they get to see their sin, and then they get to decide if they want to, if they need a blood sacrifice for it. And then they call upon the one who has the blood sacrifice, and they can learn to apply it, and then they learn to walk in it. All right, for sin and no honour for the price paid. So for Jesus and the prophets sent to deliver from sin, shake it off, they carry it off, they carry it on their behalf and they give it to Jesus, which I've already read that. And then it's like the final judgment is this opportunity to repent and to receive forgiveness and to change their purpose. Okay, that's like the final opportunity, is that end result where they get to choose if they actually want to change their purpose and apply the blood, truly repent, and And what we get to see with the miraculous power and the working of the prophets now working together, so they're coming forth, the prophets who have, you know, yeah, they were in the world for a while there because of what the Lord, they were born prophets, but now they've entered the kingdom as sons, and the Lord is their Father. God is their Father. Father's their Father. And they have the Lord. They have the Word, and they've become the Word. And they have done great work out there and been despised as the prophets and not received and not welcome, but they've continued to work under the Father, for the Father, laying their life down. And there's a company of these prophets that believe the same way, their faith and their authority, and they believe that they have authority over the breath, and they believe that they can call forth their harvest, that breath, everyone that has that word in them from their work together, as they stand, as they believe together, thus see the resurrection of Jesus, the word coming upon all people, and to see them all rise up into their sonship, seeing all the prophets to awaken together and come under their Father, and really to see a miraculous work that's never been seen before in all of the earth, which is the whole all being reconciled back to the Lord, all being reconciled back to the Father, because of the authority that they believe in coherence, in oneness and in unity, that everything that has breath will praise the Lord, and that everything has breath will awaken and will repent and will come under in obedience to the word. Amen. And then there would be a deep forgiveness, which is a repentance and forgiveness for their sin. They will see their sin. They will look upon their own sin, receive the forgiveness for it. And those who forgive much, love much, and they will have great forgiveness for all who has sinned against them because of the condition of their own soul and what they've had, what they were forgiven for. And we'll get to see an amazing kingdom age birthed in the earth. Amen. God bless you guys. God keep you. Till next time.